Hello and welcome to The Culture Brokers, stories from 1.5 generation immigrants. In this series, we explore the unique experiences of individuals who immigrate to a new country before adolescence. Each episode will discuss different themes relevant to this demographic as they navigate through life while trying to understand what it means to belong to different cultures.
I have been thinking a lot and speaking to some of my friends about this, which is that this experience of being under quarantine and having so much idle time and so much free time on our hands is making some of us very reminiscent of being back home. And it's making us think a lot about the days and the years that we spent going and doing really random things in Iran and not having school and not having work to think about and worry about. And it's made us nostalgic in a way that's been a little bit more like pronounced than maybe like at any other point in our lives. And in our conversation with my conversation with you, you made me realize that this could have a lot to do with the fact that the last time I had this much free time was when I was in my, I was 9 or 10 or pretty much all the way up until 18, when every summer I was told to go back home. As soon as school was out, my mom and my sister and I would get on a plane and we'd get back to Tehran to hang out with my dad and the rest of the family. And in reality, that's probably the most bored, unproductive years of my life or months of my life. Only because I'd left Iran too young to form like too many deep relations with others. I was obviously too young to go do things on my own. So I really think since then I haven't had, with school and work and everything else, never got experience like that again. So what we've been doing is trying to soothe ourselves by making Persian food and learning new recipes that are really traditional. And we never really got around to it. And now we're trying to learn it and just do Iranian cinema and all these other forms and mediums, trying to recreate those sentiments and share that with each other through a distance.
That's so cute. I love that.
It's been lovely. It's been great to have other people to share this experience with. But it's also made me think more about this, how now I'm at this age and I'm looking back on those years. I'm looking back on those summers, those quote unquote, boring summers, with so much love and longing. Mm. But when I was always complaining about it when I was actually going through it. And I understand that a big part of that is just being a child and not fully understanding the value of something. But I do think that experience is a little bit more complicated through the lens of a 1.5 generation immigrant, because I think that we've spoken about this before, but I think at that time, because those are the years where your experience as a dual cultured person is starting to form. And at that time, everything was very, I don't know what the right word for it is, but my experience was very passive and receptive, and it was very black and white. So it was I was born in Iran. I have now come here to Canada. I have obviously these Persian roots and these Persian bits of my culture, and I know this language and speak it and all that. But I am now here, in this is my present, and my future is in Canada. And so I'm going to continue to become more and more Canadian, and over the period of duration of my life be more Canadian than I am going to be Iranian. And that's just based on the very literal factors of time and space and very just logical almost. But the one of the biggest shocks of life has been realizing that that's not how it actually turns out, where I think in those years, one of the reasons why I was always in Iran, bored in the summers, emailing my friends from back here, being envious of all the friendships that were getting stronger while I was missing out on it, all the way at the other end of the world, at that time, I didn't think much about my Persianness, and I thought way more about my Canadianness. And mm-hmm. then around, like, you know, late high school or early, like, in undergrad, and then in just like 20s, and just kind of started to get more and more intense. I suddenly started to notice how those, like, base years and that influences from that culture and, like, my family and everything that that comes with, like, that actually is playing sometimes a much more dominant hand in my decision making. And this constant, like, shift going back and forth is just, I don't know, it's just this constant, like, sometimes it feels like a constant battle, sometimes the other times it's just like a constant kind of, like, narrative, you know, like, that's, like, shaping and forming in its own way. And I just think that this in betweenness is such a shifting and an ever evolving experience, and I find that really interesting, you know.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, the shift, exactly, those are the two words, shifting and evolving, because it does shift. And I think that's a commonality in our experience, that you kind of do sort of, you know, when we've talked about this, like, being able to wear one hat with more comfort at some parts of your life than other times. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people, for a lot of different ways they identify, and how comfortable things, very complex sort of identity markers are, just generally. With being 1.5 and what you just said about, like, you know, these sort of, like, idyllic summers you look back on now, where it's like summertime, so you're going to Iran, you're going to spend some time with your family. And so in those times, it's like you're kind of holding on to, like, this Canadian persona, like, you're Canadian, so you want to come back with, to your Canadian life with your Canadian friends, like, that's, you know. And then we talked about, like, that video that I found where we went to the States for, like, 3 weeks, and I come back and I'm like, oh, Canadian buzz, Canadian everything, like, you're young, you're like a kid, so it's just so fun to sort of feel. And I think it speaks to, like, how much children want to belong, like, we want to belong in a space that we feel seen and safe. And, like, again, like, I'm happy that we were able to kind of claim that experience as a kid, to feel Canadian, at least in those times, that way when you're even visiting somewhere, you feel like you had something to come back to, like, there was home. That's, I don't know, there's something that warms my cold heart at the thought of a sort of, like, feeling that. I also think it's a lot of that is, we love nostalgia, we love to sort of look back at things with nostalgia. And, you know, humans are nostalgic, we love Polaroid photos, and, like, we just love things with that tinge of, like, what could have been. Like, I think we all romanticize that. So it's interesting that you said that about how, like, you've been thinking about that time in Iran and, like, sort of what your summer would look like if you were kind of in that position now. And whereas for me, I find during this time, spending all this time during coronavirus, like, all trying to, like, social distance and stay home, and having all this time that we haven't really been able to sort of, like, sit down and appreciate in quite some time now. And we're very fortunate to be able to do this. But for me, I think back to, like, summers kind of like the inverse. And I love that we have this sort of, like, variance in our experiences, because those were your summers, and it encapsulates 1.5, like, spending most of your school year here, and then your summers are in Iran. For me, I was like, school year here, where you kind of have things to look forward to, because, like, there's structure in school, there's activities, there's sort of planned, prescribed stuff. And then summers were, like, you know, chilling, like, you're chilling for an indefinite period of time and didn't have any plans. And I've been nostalgic for that recently. I had a dream with one of my friends from, like, fourth grade, Sanaz, actually, also Persian. And I remember, like, just, I literally had a dream about her, like, a few weeks ago. I was telling my mom, it was so bizarre because I haven't spoken or seen her or anything since, like, probably, like, fourth or fifth grade. But our we were quite close and we were neighbors, like building adjacent. And one entire summer, we just went swimming at the community pool like every single day. And like, I remember that. Like, I remember that feeling, you know, like you might have like that one window to go out. And aside from that, like, I didn't do anything. My mom didn't have like, we weren't in summer camp and we weren't learning a new, like, I don't know, music instrument or like Anand will say like that he like went to like a hip hop camp or something. Like, I don't know. There's like probably some, there is a lot of free community services as well, but like my parents were just not really in tune with a lot of it, and like very immigrant heavy neighborhood. So it wasn't really, you don't really hear about other immigrant kids also doing some sick ass summer activity. So we don't really know what other immigrant kids were doing. I just knew I would see them back in September when we went back to school. And so it was really sort of like chill summers where like days were long and you kind of like find ways to occupy your body and your mind. And then you eat dinner and you go to sleep. So like I've actually been able to tap back into the joys of that and like just appreciating days for what they are. And so that's been comforting for me. And I think everyone finds different ways to like, you know, tools of comfort, tools of what makes you feel secure, and how we trigger those senses of security throughout our memory. And I think for me, that's been helpful. And I don't know why, it feels so familiar right now, even though that was like years and years and years ago. And the offset, like, so that is what I would call, the two adjectives that you used were shifting and evolving. So I think that's the part that's like shifting. You're kind of like, that's like a memory for me that I feel like you kind of like navigate two identities. The part that I find is that's so interesting with the evolving aspect of all this is that, you know, throughout your years as you went back, were there times that you noticed like a difference in what you were picking up on your visits, or does it always carry to you generally this sort of like sense of like nostalgic trips back home where your summers are there and you kind of like know what to expect and sort of like you know how to categorize it? Or were you finding that you were picking up like new nuances of what this culture means and what it means to belong within this culture throughout your visits as you got older?
I think the age, I mean, that at that age, like you're growing at such a fast rate and your interests and the things that you pick up on is like constantly changing. So like there was I didn't notice a shift, but I don't think it was a really like a deliberate shift. Like I think right now at this point in our lives, like we're speaking way more about like these conscientious, like deliberate, like analyses of our experiences. Whereas at that point, it was much more like maybe when I was like 10 and 11, the summers were like extremely boring and all I did was like watch weird TV shows and music videos or something and read books. By like 14 and 15, maybe I was enjoying a little bit more those like social hangouts that my mom would like force me to go with her. And by 16, I was like, you know, actually making an effort to interact with another person that was like around my age and finding some sort of like, I don't know, like new connections to, I guess, Iran and finding new ways to have fun, like in that way. But, I think overall, I do, just because of the years that those experiences took place, I do group them up together.
Yeah, I think that's normal. And like, it's so funny because I find myself doing that too, even though time is such a funny thing because you can look back or reflect back at periods of your life and you kind of distinctly remember how you felt, but you can't really parse out like, but it's almost like an out-of-body experience. Like it's not, whereas now I feel as I get older, I feel very like in-body. I feel very conscious of like what's taking place around me and more deliberate and intentional around how I perceive it. And so what I find, and this could just be purely like biological, like your frontal cortex of your brain kind of like fully coming to and like you're able to sort of like discern and like understand things from the long-term lens. But like what you said, like when you kind of bundle these experiences together, I honestly feel like I can count like on a handful of times I've been to Bangladesh throughout my life, and like it's always kind of carried the same feeling for me until recently, where it's like and this sense of excitement, this sense of like unfulfilled like longing to belong. Like you're kind of like, okay, I'm going back. This is that part of my identity that I don't get to engage with the same way I do when I'm here, which is like when I'm here in Canada, I'm like, you know, you're being constantly sort of asked and like to place yourself, right? Like people who will meet you, like, where are you from? And like, what's your story? That whole shebang. And so being Bangladeshi is something that's in my head constantly, like in this sort of like this like low hum in the back of your head somewhere where that's like part of your identity. But you don't get to meaningfully engage with it aside from like very sort of outwardly ways. So for me, a trip back home used to symbolize these like great opportunities. Like you're gonna, you know, you're gonna be back with your people and like this is your ancestry. And like, you know, there's like this great like ambition initially for me. And then you sort of get there and there's like, I don't know, for me it's always exciting because I'm like, wow, there's a lot of wonder. There's a lot of things I haven't experienced. So it's a lot of novelty. A lot of it's like, this is so cool. This is how people get to like, you know, my cousins get to experience life and like there's so much new stuff. Like, you know, and we talk about this when we talk about when you describe that time that you got on the subway and you can kind of like, when you're on a subway going to work, when we were doing things like that, like being on a subway system in Canada, it's a very Canadian thing for you. It's something that you learned here. It's something that we identify and we have no other like baseline markers of what it's like to commute anywhere else really. Whereas like, you know, when I'm in Bangladesh, I can see people taking like the bus, I can see people taking like the train or like waiting for like a rickshaw or like whatever. And it's like dope, right? And you're kind of like, I probably sound like stupid, like I'm exotifying things. But in my mind, I'm like, this is that other part of me that I see happening around me and like you can't really participate in it. And you kind of feel like it's like you're, you know, I'm here for a short time. I'm here to almost like play this role. And I feel very much a foreigner because when I'm back home, you're first of all, you're a guest. Like I don't have a home there. I don't have like anywhere that I can like look around and see like a childhood room or like anything really to symbolize that I've ever lived here. So that was always like something that was really off-putting for me. And I remember distinctly the first time I went to Bangladesh in my summer between second and third grade or third and fourth grade. I remember going back to my like my mom's like maternal home in the city, Chittagong, and I legitimately, like being in third grade, the room that they let me sleep in was my cousin's room. It had some pink walls. I thought that was my like room. I was like, oh, sick. This must be the room that like I was gonna grow up in. And like, no, sis, this is not your house. Like you're just like a guest. And I remember thinking like, well, then where is this story? Like, where's our story? And like not having an answer there. And then quickly I realized like how much I was missing out on. I had a great summer there. Like I met all my cousins for the first time, my grandma for the first time. Like I had so much fun, but it was all catered to me, right? Like it was my aunts and uncles like coming up with experiences for me, taking me on a trip or like taking me somewhere. And there was so much new stuff. And it contrasted my summers in Canada so heavily because I didn't do anything in my summers here. I like hung out with like a friend or a few friends in the neighborhood that like would also do nothing and we'd just chill and we'd ride our bikes until we had to go home because the sun was setting. And then that's it. So like the excitement in Canada was to look forward to school, was to look forward to activities and structure. Whereas like being in Bangladesh, I was like, oh my God, like there's so much fun and like I had this big family and, you know, it wasn't just my parents anymore. And like, so I got to relish in what it means to have like community, to be, you know, community upbringing. And like, I remember loving that. I cried so much the first time we had to leave. Like, I just didn't want to go. And part of that also felt like, you know, if I had to look back and like, emotionally identify with that time, I guess it's like a lot of it was like, you know, this first sort of peek into what it would look like to belong somewhere else. And I guess I kind of liked it, like, but then, you know, I look back at like those periods for the longest time and I generalize them with so much like so much positive things, like so much goodness. And I think that's why as I got older, I feel more proud to be Bengali. I'm like, I was like, yeah, this is where I'm from. Like, I'm able to cut to the chase of that question, like, where are you from sometimes? Because I feel like, yeah, this is where I'm, like, you know, this is where my story is. But recently going back and, like, experiencing culture through this evolving lens of, like, what it means to be 1.5 is that we do have this privilege of being able to pick and choose what in between looks like for us. And that same experience where before I would go back to Bangladesh and everything is like so, everything was so like loud and so everyone, like so much community and like all the very things that I loved so much as a child because I didn't have those here. And I defended them so heavily to the point that even in my master's when we did for social policy, like I did my paper on ethnic enclaves in terms of like utilizing them, as a form of immigration settlement for like policy, right? Like leveraging like-minded community housing and like leveraging people from particular ethnic communities to sort of come together and have like these success stories like we see through like Chinatowns and like Little Italy's where, and like, you know, the Danforth, like Greek communities where everything it's owned by businesses are there, like the services are there, the housing is there, the food's there, the music's there, like I was so keen on that because I was like, that's something I missed out on as an immigrant in Canada, is having that really like concentrated experience in my ethnicity and my culture. But then like, as I got older and I went back and, you know, I've only been for weddings essentially. And like this last one was one of my closest cousin's wedding and then my brother's wedding in close succession to each other, like literally months apart. And like I said, like being more in body, like being there and noticing the subtleties now where it's like, yeah, okay, people are very community oriented, which means people are opinionated and they feel entitled to offer you their opinion because they're an extended family member of yours. Like that used to be fun when I was a kid and I used to be able to play with a bunch of kids and have my mom and my dad be off my back because they're playing, they're also chilling with so-and-so uncle and auntie. That was fun when I was a kid, but being an adult and like my brother's getting married and so I have random people coming up to me asking me like very invasive questions or making like rude comments about like your body or your hair or your how much money you make or what your job is or yeah, like everything related to like my romantic life or if you lack thereof or whatever, right? Like people have so much to say that it wasn't cute. I was like, this is not something I'm enjoying. And it was annoying. And then I'm like kicking into this, like my Canadian armor where I'm like, oh, I'm Canadian. So excuse me, I believe in boundaries. And actually you can't ask people how much money they make because that's not nice. Like these sort of like reflexes were coming out of me. And all of a sudden it's like this evolving, like, and you're shifting back and forth again. So it speaks to how this journey never really ends and you don't necessarily feel more belonging to one or the other, even as we get older and even as, and because we're able to find the nuances so much more deeply and in a very like deliberate way, that I came out of that trip and I told my dad, cause we talk about all the time about him wanting to go back to Bangladesh and he's been in Canada now for like, you know, 20 odd years. And I asked him, like, do you think you can go back and move? And he was like, I don't know. And we talked about it. And I was like, honestly, like, I need you to realize, like, culture is not just these, like, upper layer things. It's not just, like, you want to, you know, you miss your language and you miss talking in your language and you miss hearing people talk in your language. It's not just that. It's not just people wearing the clothes that you're comfortable seeing, that you grew up seeing people wear. It's not just the music and it's not just the art. It's not just these sort of things that we can like kind of wear on our sleeve. That's actually a lot deeper than that. And it is actually how people perceive time and how people move through time and how people communicate certain values that they hold, certain tone that is acceptable, certain levels of like privacy and intrusiveness, certain levels of what it means to what is acceptable, what's not, what's meant to be a compliment, what should be perceived as a compliment versus, like, you know what I mean? Like, all these other things that are actually very much part of the culture. And I think anyone that lives there is able to identify these things, and everyone draws their boundaries. Boundaries are not like unique to our Canadian experience. And I don't want to imply that. But what I mean is that there's certain types of boundaries that we've defined for ourselves based on our experience here, based on what we've noticed as normative here in Canada. And we've been able to sort of apply them to our application of our culture and our engagement of the culture with our families and our loved ones. And it happens within our culture as well, but it's different. And it's something that we might not be seeing all the time because we were not privy to that experience all the time. And I remember just like having this really good conversation with my dad at the time, just to sort of like realize like my own thoughts on it. And he was like, it's true. Like, there are a lot of things that are not, that are very subtle and that are part of our culture. And, you know, for him, it's a lot normal. It's a lot normal because it's almost like it's a reminder of how things are and how much has changed or hasn't changed. Whereas for me, some of these things are brand new. They're things I'm now getting to experience as someone who is like in her late 20s and, you know, as a woman and as someone that is like perceived as kind of like a foreigner. And when I go to Bangladesh, so people have things to say to me. So they're new experiences for me. So yeah, curious to get your thoughts on that, because I think those are some subtleties that I really picked up on in the past little while that's kind of shifted my, like, I get not shifted, but like that lets me see like kind of both coins to like this really fun part of like, you know, to the double-sidedness to something like, you know, a very community heavy culture or like a very expressive culture, very loud, and like all those great things that I saw as like purely only positive as a kid, because it's like things I can benefit and enjoy from in terms of entertainment, now become real life things that I can see how as a day to day, there are factors that would be relevant to me if I was living there, but are not factors to the same degree for me right now. And I'm kind of okay with that.
It's so funny because I feel like in a lot of ways might have had like the reverse experience. So I feel like for me, because I was born in Iran, I always kind of like, so there was no first time that I went there, you know, there was no first trip. It was just trips back. And So in a sense, like, I think it kind of made me take things for granted for a very long time. And we had our home there, which I've like always associated with, like, I know my room there and I know what everything in that house is like. And it's the room that I know I'd be going in and sleeping in every single summer. And I just always had this kind of understanding that there was my home there and there was my home here. And that's just how things go. And then, you know, I guess maybe kind of like already, as I explained, like this sort of like irritation that I'm being forced back to every summer put me in this position of like criticism there when I was younger. And but at that time it was a little bit more simplistic, you know. It started with just like hating the way traffic was there versus how, like, the first thing when we got into a car when we were back in Toronto and we're on our way home, the first thing I'd notice is just how like uniform and organized the cars and the driving is here, and just how much I miss that. So, you know, in the beginning, it was like really like simplistic things like that. And then over the years, it kind of started to evolve a little bit. And I'd exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, certain questions I'd be getting from family members and friends and people who I really like didn't associate with, but somehow like felt extremely like affectionate towards me, would ask me questions about my life and my, you know, who's in it and who's not in it and my, give me advice and all these things that I just felt were crossing my boundaries. And it really felt uncomfortable and felt very much like intrusive. And I remember just constantly like complaining and joking, but also making it known that, like, to my parents that, like, well, that's not how we do things. Like, that's not how I do things in Canada, and that's not normal and whatever, just to kind of like trying to put one over the other. And then the older I got, though, that started to shift, and my trips started to shift, and my experiences actually kind of started to resemble what you're describing was yours when you were going back home, which was like there was suddenly this new, you know, this, maybe it was because I experienced summers here finally, and I started to kind of be able to make decisions for myself as an adult, and I started to slowly put together just all the exciting things about Iran and all the fun things, you know, everything from the food to the warmth of the culture to the just familiar, you know, streets and faces and conversations, all the cultural norms that just, I guess I could contrast as Canada not having, you know, I started to grow some sort of like appreciation for it. And then also, on a kind of like a different note, also started to realize that, you know, like just because I have a room there, it does not mean that that's a home, because over time I started to realize that home is a deliberate choice that you make. So, you know, going back after a couple of years of not being back in Iran, I remember going, walking into that house and walking into that room. I think it was like maybe 5 years later. That was the longest time I'd been away, and realizing that suddenly didn't give me that same feeling as it used to. And I think experiences like that started to make me understand that this thing that you and I talk about so frequently, which is this deliberate decision-making as to what boundaries you want to accept into your life, which space you want to associate with home and comfort and safety, and, you know, which rules you want to abide by and how you want to establish like your relationships and the ones that kind of like the biggest decisions of your life, you know, like, and I think this is something that everybody goes through, and everybody kind of like understands that there are different ways, like paths you can like be choosing and leading. But I think the confusing thing, and you mentioned this earlier and you described it as like this like unique like privilege. And I do think it's a privilege, and I think it's this great opportunity to know, as a 1.5 generation immigrant, that there are, like, you inherently understand that there are two different ways of doing things. There are many, but you especially understand two really well. And I think it's a, like you said, it is a privilege to have that perspective, but I also feel like sometimes it's a burden, because you could really, if you think about some components of it, some dynamics and just the pros and cons of both ways of being, it's hard to make a decision, and it's hard to know that you always have a choice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'd be much nicer if there was just one choice, you know? And it's not like it's not a complaint by any form, or it's not meant to be that way, but it's more about acknowledging, I guess I just really want to acknowledge that sometimes that duality is a burden and it's heavy. And I guess like what I'd really, what I have benefited from is speaking to people who've told me that they understand what I'm talking about. They've shared a story about their own internal struggles and like kind of like conflicts of, you know, really wanting to like pursue this one component of the culture, but then really not liking this other part of it. And just, you know, how, I guess that's all that really matters at the end of the day. It's just like, it's sometimes just nice to know that other people are kind of experiencing the same thing. But I think kind of like all of that set aside, I think the boundaries and the social boundaries and the conversations that have taught us both about what's normal there and what's normal here and like contrast, like I think that is just such an interesting kind of topic that you could really talk, like we should probably just talk about for like on a separate episode altogether, because like that's something you're just like, you're constantly figuring out, you know, like it's like something like asking you how much you make. That's something that might be a little bit more normal there than here. But then by contrast, something that always confused me was why certain topics related to like intimacy and partners and all that was so much more censored there than it is here. And I think especially as a teen and as like a 1.5, as a younger 1.5, I think those are really challenging conversations and complex conversations to like navigate, because I don't know, like, I would assume you have like more confusion, you have more, you're in more of a state of discovery at that point, you're trying to learn about yourself. Whereas like now I think for you and I, it's much easier to draw boundaries because we know more about what we want and what we don't want in our interactions. Like there's so many different sides to it, you know, like, and there's a sense of like strong community there, but then mm-hmm. you've been trained that a sense of community is actually respecting your boundaries, and suddenly that's not there, you know? So I don't know. It's just very, I think it all comes back to this thing of like, okay, so like, what do you choose? Like, do you choose one over the other? Like, how do you move forward? Like, yeah. We're not at that point where neither of us have like kids or anything, but I've always assumed that like that's when the real test will be, because that's when you're going to have to make a deliberate choice of what you pass on and what you don't. Or maybe we're really over like glorifying just how much choice we have, and a lot of it will just happen organically, just like I guess it already did, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Like, I don't really know when the true test of it is going to be. And maybe we've talked also about maybe the generation after this won't even really feel the need to, maybe there's going to be so much more nuance in terms of identity and the progress that we're seeing, not to glorify it by any means, and like how much work there's going to be always to do, but in terms of making space for people to belong. But you know, we came up during a particular time too, and I feel like that plays a role in terms of like seeking out belonging. I feel like we saw it less in media. There wasn't social media. There wasn't like Instagram or like Twitter. And like, sometimes I see things on Instagram or just like memes and shit that you're like, ah, that's funny. Like, you know, what was it? I saw one the other day. It was like, well, we thought 2020 was going to be, and it was like a box of those Danish biscuits. And then it's like what it really was, what it really is. And it's like a sewing kit, right? Which is like so many immigrant moms using those Danish, you know, what Danish cookies I'm talking about, the blue box.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And then inside, my mom literally has hers to this day in 2020. She's had that same blue Danish box as her sewing kit since I was like, I don't know, like really young.
My mom has one. Like, not even lying.
That's what I'm saying. So you see stuff like this, right? And you're like, okay. So first of all, our childhoods were not as unique as we thought they were. And there's a bunch of shared experiences across the board of people that can relate. And it's so nice to see that now as an adult. So, like, I'm interested to know what the challenges are for 1.5s today, because I think they're there, and they're not to say that they're better or worse or anything, but they're different. But I do think there's this layer of like, okay, do you get more validation now in terms of, like, through digital diasporas, do you see yourself a little bit more? And does that make you feel like you have the tools to navigate better? I don't know. That's a theoretical or a rhetorical question, I guess. But for us, what you said about that time, this duality being heavy, it's so comforting to hear you say that, because I think that is what my inner child would have wanted. It would have been helpful to hear that when you're younger. Because there are times like going back and seeing so much and being very overwhelmed and still not belonging, like certain times where it's like, yeah, if like the first time I went back again, like pulling from the same summer, but like, you know, you're saying this word wrong. Remember, my uncle would tease me and my brother, like, you're saying this word wrong. And he would roast us. And every time he'd see us, he'd use that word again and again and again just to tease us on our accent. It's like, kind of funny, but it's also like, man, I can't even do this like language thing right. And that's the one of the few things I can claim, you know what I mean? And like, I don't have any of these other experiences that you guys all have as a shared experience. I don't have some of these things. So then it's really easy to start feeling sorry for yourself that I don't even belong here. And then, you know, you're in Canada, and then it's like, my mom's like, well, you can't do that because you're not one of these Canadian kids, so like, nice try. But it's like, okay, well then where do I fit? And how come sometimes this duality is like something I'm being so forced to kind of reconcile, while at the same time, no one's acknowledging how hard it is. And I really don't know how to do this. And I'm being blatantly made aware in these spaces, whether that's Canada, whether that's in Bangladesh, how I don't really belong. I'm not allowed to belong the same way because there's things that are holding me back. that at the time I'm not even in control of, right? I'm not in control of my accent as how my uncles see it. This is how I've learned the language based on how my parents talk to me at home. And I only have practice of my language at home. And then the offshoot of that is like when I'm here, it's not my fault that I can't participate to the full spectrum of Canadian society because my mom is like, oh, you have a, you know, she has all these arbitrary rules of how she upholds culture in our house and what it means to be Bengali. And so suddenly like your curfew and like, listen, curfew is a matter of respect. And in our culture and in our community, we respect our elders. Like she just pulls these random sort of things together to like support her rules, right? And so then it's like, okay, well, I'm not in control of the things I can participate in. And so therefore I can't fully participate in Canadian life. So that's a heavy feeling to carry. And I think as you get older, you're able to sort of like identify the gaps and the tools and you're able to sort of like, you know, assert yourself accordingly. Like now I can tease my uncle back to be like, okay, like, don't even get me started on the words you can't say in English, you know, like we can make these jokes now because I have that understanding. But for a while, it was just sort of frustrating. And I can now reply to my mom being like, okay, there's all these things I didn't do. Why? Like, she'll be like longingly, oh, Justine, it would be so nice if you learned this instrument. It's like, well, it'd be nice if you like looked out for summer camp opportunities for me to learn sort of like any sort of these imaginary traits you want me to have, right? Like, it's funny that we can have these sort of conversations now by calling each other out and not holding any resentment and not holding, I'm not trying to sound salty in any of the ways I'm like talking about it now, because there's so much for me to be grateful for, and I'm happy to have like humor in our culture to like use it now to like tease my own family in terms of like, here's how I felt for a long time, and for them to understand my perspective on it. But this is new, and it's something that we weren't able to do before. So I think sometimes there is just validation in knowing that you're not alone and that it is heavy and duality is a great thing, but it's not always easy. And I don't think it's supposed to be easy, but it's also not all bad. And in fact, it enriches your life to like, right now, even, you know, we're able to sit in this sort of like lull and like with, you know, days getting warmer, and like we're able to sort of like transport our minds to this like period of nostalgia where our reference point is how we spent summers as a kid, and that's heavily influenced by our 1.5 experience specifically.